All right, if you'll take your Bibles and turn to Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 5, we're looking at some of the prophecies of Zechariah. So Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 5 says, "And they shall be as mighty men which tread down their enemies in the mire of the streets in the battle, and they shall fight because the Lord is with them, and the riders on horses shall be confounded." Let's pray. Father in heaven, it's such a blessing to be here today on this wonderful Lord's Day and to continue and Lord willing, we'll be finishing up with Zechariah today, just looking at some of the prophecies from the book of Zechariah. And as so many times people will say that the Old Testament is no longer needed and we don't need to be studying it and preaching on it, but the truth of the matter is we do, and part of that truth to that is the fact the prophecies that we know that were foretold, and that many have come to pass already, many are going to come to pass, and so looking forward to what you have for us. I pray, Father, again, as always, that you'd speak to each one of us personally, and we'll not fail to give you all the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Israel will be allowed to participate in the victory over their foes. It's interesting when you see what's going on in the world today and what's going on in Israel today and how so many people hate Israel. And it's getting worse, and it's going to get worse. People say, well, it'll get better. Not until the Prince of Peace brings peace. But one day, God's going to take care of the enemies of Israel, and they're going to get to participate. And it's going to be a great time for them. Then look at Zechariah 12, verses 5 through 8. Zechariah 12, starting verse 5, it says, "And the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be my strength and the Lord of hosts their God. In that day will I make the governors of Judah like an hearth of fire among the wood and like a torch of fire in a sheaf. And they shall devour all the people round about on the right hand and on the left, and Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem. The Lord shall also save the tents of Judah first, that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against Judah. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them." One day. It'd be nice if the enemies of Israel would get saved, first of all, then get into the Word of God and see what is coming for them. However, if they repent, what happens? If they repent, then God withholds judgment. But they have to repent and come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so instead of praying for their demise, we should be praying for their salvation. Wouldn't it be great if every single human being on the face of the planet came to know the Lord? And then those who know Him would live like we know Him instead of living like the world? And then chapter 14 and verse 14. Says, "And Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance." All the stuff that we think are so valuable and all. I was reading This morning again, God's going to pave the streets of heaven with gold. All the stuff that we think is important and all, there's going to be an abundance of it, an abundance of it. And people, I always find it interesting because people who don't have their faith and trust in the Lord place their faith and trust in man and things. All the silver and gold you want to get together. And I'm not saying don't be prepared for a rainy day. I'm not saying that. But all of that that you want to gather together and all, one day you're not going to take it with you. When we're out of here, all that's being left behind. What's important is what treasures we lay up in heaven. That's what's going to be important. How much have we done to get people brought to the Lord Jesus Christ? How many people will we know that will be in heaven? That's what's important. But one day there's going to be an abundance of all these things. God's going to take care of the enemies of Israel. And thank God for that. And then all nations will gather against Jerusalem at the Battle of Armageddon. The city will fall and be looted by her enemies. Half the people will be taken captive, but half will remain until the day that Christ comes to conquer all nations that fight against Jerusalem. And again, the Battle of Armageddon is not going to be some great battle. All the Lord Jesus Christ has to do is speak it, and they're gone, wiped out. It's not going to be some great battle that people say, oh, it's going to be just this great, huge, long, drawn-out battle. No, it's not going to be long and drawn out. The Lord Jesus Christ doesn't have to drag out anything. He speaks things into existence and they happen. He speaks and people are healed. It's not going to be that great a thing. However, it is going to conquer all the enemies swiftly. Swiftly. And yet, they won't even realize till it's too late who it is that they're fighting against. That's why I say, you can raise up all you want, and we were talking about it yesterday with some of the stuff that goes on around the church building and how many people come in and they try to do things that are not good in the parking lot and to the building and to the mailbox and all kinds of stuff, and they don't have any idea who they're fighting against. None whatsoever. We were talking, and was said again, you know, as kids, as lost people, we would never, ever, ever think about doing anything to a church or the property it sat on. Even not knowing the Lord, we wouldn't think about doing that. Today, they don't think twice about. I can tell you over and over and over, and this church itself, not in this building, but itself, has gone through a couple arsons. There are several churches in the valley that have had arson. It's because people don't care anymore. But one day they'll realize they're fighting against Almighty God, and they cannot win. They cannot win. Thank God that this church has prevailed through two of them. And thank God for His hand of protection, giving us a brick building when they tried to set the brick on fire back here with some wooden matchsticks. I'm sorry, but in case you didn't know, brick doesn't burn. It's not going to catch fire like other things out there would. And so thank God for His hand of protection upon us. And they threw lit paper in the mailbox. Once you close the door to the mailbox and the oxygen's cut off, it snuffs out the fire. So obviously people who aren't thinking, right? Thank God for His protection. But one day all those people who are fighting against God are going to realize who He really is. And it'll be too late. We need to pray that their hearts would be softened, and that they'd come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Look at Zechariah 12:3. Zechariah 12:3 says, "And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it." And then chapter 14, verse 2 and 3 says, "For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished. And half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle." Then the enemies of the Antichrist and all nations that oppose Israel and Israel's God will be defeated by Christ at his return. All of these enemies, they can't do anything when they're fighting against Almighty God. Doesn't matter how many there are, God will take them down because they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Zechariah 12:4 says, "In that day, saith the Lord, I will smite every horse with astonishment and his rider with madness, and I will open mine eyes upon the house of Judah and will smite every horse of the people with blindness." Excuse me. Then verse 9, where it says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem." Then the eyes, tongues, and flesh of the soldiers of the Antichrist armies will consume away while they stand. Verses 12 through 15 of chapter 14. Says, "And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them, and they shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. And Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance. And so shall the plague of the horse, of the mule, of the camel, and of the ass, and all the beasts that shall be in these tents as this plague." Reminds me of when, in Exodus, when God kept sending the different plagues, and Pharaoh finally told him to go ahead and go, right? Then he decided he didn't want him to go. Chased after him. But God protected them and took care of them. All you have to do is know a little bit about the Bible, right? And you'll know that it doesn't pay to fight against Almighty God. All the world will mourn over the horrors of Armageddon. Excuse me. Christ will set his feet on Mount of Olives. Christ is called here Lord or Jehovah, indicating his deity in the first part of verse 4 of chapter 14. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives will split in half, creating a great valley, the latter part of verse 4, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and on the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof towards the east and towards the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove towards the north, and half of it towards the south. As I said, all he has to do is speak these things. He comes down and touches down, and all of a sudden there's a big valley created. He is Almighty God. He has all power. He can do whatever it is he sees fit to do. And living waters will flow out of this valley to the Dead Sea and the Mediterranean Sea and will produce great fertility. Verse 8 of Zechariah 14 says, "And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go forth out of Jerusalem, half of them towards the former sea and half of them towards the hinder sea. Summer and in winter shall it be." It's going to be very fertile soil and all. The people of Israel will finally recognize Jesus as their Messiah and will mourn greatly over their past rejection of Christ. Chapter 12, verses 10 through 14. Chapter 12, verse 10 says, "And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn." Excuse me. "In that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem as the mourning of Hadarimon in the valley of Megiddon. And the land shall mourn, every family apart, the family of the house of David apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Nathan apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Levi apart, and their wives apart, and the family of Shimei apart, and their wives apart. All the families that remain, every family apart, and their wives apart." All the world, as I said, will mourn over the horrors of Armageddon. Chapter 12, verse 11. Latter part of that says, "As the morning of Hadarimon in the valley of Megiddon." The supernatural gloom will end and the skies will be supernaturally lighted by the glory of God. In Zechariah 14:7, the last latter part of that, it says that at evening time it shall be light. One thing about when you have the light of the world, you don't need lights. He lights up everything. It's going to be interesting one day. We're not going to need day and night, right? The Lord is going to be light. It's always going to be light because we're going to have him with us. Israel will be cleansed of all their sin by the supernatural fountain of God's grace and forgiveness through the blood of Christ. Christ will remove all idols and false prophets and teachers from the land. Wouldn't that be nice? Tell you, as you go around and you see all these statues and idol that people have erected in their yards and in different places, you go to the stores and you see all these idols that are on their shelves that they're for sale, and God's going to get rid of all those. I've said for years, why do you want all those idols? Folks, dusting, right? You got to pick them things up and dust them constantly. They can't do anything for you. I like the fact that my God, the one I serve, doesn't have to be dusted. He doesn't have to be cared for. In fact, he cares for us. And thank God that he does. And he treats us much better than we deserve, that's for sure. But thank God that all of that's going to be gone. How about false prophets? Grates on my every nerve when I hear these guys spewing false teachings and people just swallowing it up. God's going to take care of them too. Praise the Lord, right? It's amazing how much false teachings people will eat up, but the truth they don't want any part of. Look at Zechariah 13, the first five verses of that. It says, "In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And I also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land. And it shall come to pass that when any shall yet prophesy, then his father and his mother that begat him shall say unto him, Thou shalt not live, for thou speakest lies in the name of the Lord. And his father and his mother that begat him shall thrust him through when he prophesieth. And it shall come to pass in that day that the prophets shall be ashamed, every one of his vision, when he hath prophesied, neither shall they wear a rough garment to deceive. But he shall say, I am no prophet, I am an husbandman, for man taught me to keep cattle from my youth." Yeah, they're not going to want to be known as those false prophets anymore because God's going to wipe them out. It'd be nice if we didn't have them today, but the Bible warned us. Jesus told us we will have them with us. And he warned us about them. So we need to study the Word of God so we know what it says, so that when we hear these false teachings, we can say, oh yeah, that's from Satan. Don't follow that. The problem we have today is too many people, and yes, I'm going to use the lazy word, too many people are lazy and they won't get into the Word of God and won't study it and find out what it says, so they'll know the difference, and so they flock to places that they call churches where they're being taught all kinds of stuff that is contrary to God's Word. We need to know the truth. So when we hear it, we'll know what it says. We'll know what is right and what's wrong. Then the geography of Israel will be supernaturally transformed into a great plain, fully inhabited and secure forever. Chapter 14, verses 10 and 11 says, "And all the land shall be returned as a plain from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem, and it shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place, from Benjamin's gate unto the place of the first gate, unto the corner gate, from the tower of Hananeel, unto the king's wine presses, and men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited." You know what's interesting today? As I get these reports and I hear that children are afraid to play outside in Israel today. Why? Well, I'm sure it's the same thing going on in Ukraine. Why would you go outside? There's bombs going off everywhere. However, I would stay away from trains and apartment buildings and hospitals and all the stuff that they're targeting. But it's craziness. We have no idea what these people are living through. It's astonishing when you see the pictures of the carnage that's going on out there and what's happening. And people are afraid to move about because where is safe? The only thing I can say is, the only where you're going to find, only place you'll find safety is in the Lord. Then Israel will be settled in their land in perfect peace, security, holiness, and fellowship with their God. Can you imagine perfect peace in Israel? Yeah, that would be great, won't it? Look at Zechariah chapter 10, verses 6 through 12. Says, "And I will strengthen the house of Judah, and I will save the house of Joseph, and I will bring them again to place them, for I have mercy upon them, and they shall be as though I had not cast them off. For I am the Lord their God, and will hear them. And they of Ephraim shall be like a mighty man, and their heart shall be rejoiced as through wine. Yea, their children shall see it and be glad. Their heart shall rejoice in the Lord. I will hiss for them and gather them, for I have redeemed them. And they shall increase as they have increased. And I will sow them among the people, and they shall remember me in far countries, and they shall live with their children and turn again. I will bring them again also out of the land of Egypt, and gather them out of Assyria, and I will bring them into the land of Gilead and Lebanon, and place shall not be found for them. And they shall pass through the sea with affliction, and shall smite the waves in the sea, and all the deeps of the river shall dry up. And the pride of Assyria shall be brought down, and the scepter of Egypt shall depart away. And I will strengthen them in the Lord, and they shall walk up and down in his name, saith the Lord." Zechariah 8:8 says, "And I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness." One day they're going to realize who he is. It's going to be a great time. "All the people of the Gentile nations that once opposed God in Israel will come to Jerusalem each year to worship Christ and celebrate the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles in holiness." Zechariah 14, verses 16 through 19. says, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which come against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the feasts of tabernacles. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not and have no rain, there shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And the Feast of Tabernacles celebrate the presence of the God of glory and the glory of God among his people. And unbelievers who do not come to worship God in the millennium will face the judgment of God. Rain will be withheld on any who do not worship the Lord in Jerusalem. As we mentioned before, rain is a necessary thing. And we find that more and more as we go day after day after day after day after day with no rain, right? And then the forecasters, they say, oh, rain is in the forecast, right? And they're looking forward to this rain, and they're talking about how it'll help the wildfires around us and all. And then they say, oops, we got barely a trace. How do you measure barely a trace? I mean, how do they figure that? We didn't get hardly anything. In fact, most areas didn't even see any at all. And they think they know more than God knows. God's the one that brings the rain. God's the one that withholds the rain. It's not man. Then all lost survivors of the tribulation will be cast in the lake of fire at the judgments following Armageddon. Only the saved are allowed to enter this kingdom. Look over at Matthew 25. Starting in verse 31. Starting in verse 31, it says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not, sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee in hungered, or thirst, or stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Everlasting punishment is talking about the lake of fire. That's going to go on forever and ever and ever, never ending. The Bible talks about weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's going to be miserable. People joke about that all the time. I heard a guy say, it just makes me cringe thinking about it. He said, that's right, all my friends will be there with me. You won't know they're there with you. Outer darkness. They won't be able to see anything. The light of the world is not there. However, these saved survivors of the tribulation will have children during the kingdom age. Some of these children will fail to receive and worship Christ during the millennium. Jerusalem will be filled with children playing in perfect safety in its once dangerous streets. As I mentioned earlier, they're afraid to go out and play because the streets are dangerous. One day that's going to change. Zechariah 8:5 says, "And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof." Can you imagine? What a joy that will be. See them be able to go out there and not be concerned about what's coming or what could be coming. Jesus will build and inhabit the glorious temple of the millennium. In Zechariah 13, it says, "Even he shall build the temple of the Lord. He shall bear the glory and shall sit and rule upon his throne. And he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both." And then Jesus will reign over the earth as her glorious prophet, priest, and king. Got news for you. It looks like Satan's winning this thing. Looks like Satan's in control and he's ruling. No. If you know anything about the Bible, you know that Satan has to go before Almighty God and ask permission to do anything. Satan is bound. People go, then why does God give him permission? Well, certain things that the Bible tells us, we're going to have trials and we're going to have testings. Where's our faith as we go through those? Are we trusting in Almighty God as we go through the trials and testings of life? Romans 8:28 still works. For those who love God, right? All things work together for good. We know that if we love God, we're called according to His purpose. We know that all things are working together for good. I sent that to Brother Stanchfield this morning and said, his wife's still battling whatever this thing is that's excruciatingly painful that she's going through. It's been at least a month she's been battling this thing. She's slowly, progressively getting better, but it's not overnight, you know, healing. And I said, but we know that God's using this for good. That's hard to remember when you're going through it. But yet we still need to remember. Jesus is going to reign over the earth as her glorious prophet, priest, and king. Look at Zechariah 9:10. Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 10 says, "And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the heathen, and his dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from river even to the ends of the earth." And then Zechariah 14:9. says, "And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one." He's going to reign. He's going to rule and reign as the King of kings and Lord of lords. It'll be good to be on the right side. Be on God's side. I find it interesting when people say, "I'm glad that God's on my side." No, you better get on His side. He doesn't come down to our level. We got to go up to Him. He's the one that's going to rule and reign. And everyone is going to know who He is. Today, as we go around and we talk to people about the Lord Jesus Christ, I hear all kinds of things. One of them that really gets to me is, "I don't need Him." And they just don't realize, yes, they do. We need him for our very being. And one day they're going to realize that he is who he said he was and is. And every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father, let's pray.